Okay, huddle up, sports fans. Live from Studio B, it's showtime for Ken, Mark, and John, the sports authorities, here on the new CKIW Radio 76.
Well, here we are once again. The sports authorities have convened here in Studio B in the new CKWI Radio 76. So glad to see you here. Even though it's radio, we don't see anybody. Anyways, we are the sports authorities, the number one authority on all sports, hence the name. And Mayhem at 7 p.m., that is us, and we are so glad that you are here with us today. In case you were our first time stopping by, and shame on you for that. Here we go. We are not bought and paid for by any sport team anywhere. We run no commercials on the sports authorities, so we can tell you like it is. If your team blows, and we can say it without going, gee, we're afraid of not getting any kind of credentials anymore, because we really don't care. What really we want to do is we want to tell you exactly what we think of sports and the teams and whatever, and it's unfiltered. All right? We always keep ourselves to the highest standards here, which is pretty well about your ankles. Also about your ankles, we do not follow the FCC doctrine here because we're internet, but we do follow the DMCA. So sometimes the language could get a little bit salty, and if it does, please, we hope you will turn up your radio a little bit louder. So this is how we have. We have the three contestants, myself, John Sarver, here in Studio B here in CKW land, and we have to our right, as always, founding father of all CPAs, the super CPA himself, Ken Pocket. Hi, Ken.
Hi, John. How are you this evening?
I am dandy. And over to our left, going left to right on your dial, number 34 in the program, number one in your hearts, the guy that came down all the way from Hamilton to say, yes, we should have a team there, the sport director here at the Mark at CKW, Mark Milicek.
Hi, John. Hi, Kenny. How's everybody out there?
Okay, so this is kind of how it goes, alrighty? What happens is that our sport director will write a couple of topics, and we'll just tackle them, and so if you hear us calling out numbers and things like that, it's because it's just for us, and you shouldn't hear that, because it's really good radio. So, for YOU, and we're smacking that around, you let us know, what are we kicking off with, my good man?
Well, we can start off with let's start off with number one with the University of Notre Dame.
University of Notre Dame. I mean, did you see that? All right, go ahead and read what it is.
Yeah, University of Notre Dame, or Notre Dame University, however you want to call it. They got themselves in some trouble.
Yeah, what did they do? What happened?
They were caught. Some players were caught getting
some answers, right? Getting some stuff.
Yeah, getting some answers and getting some homework done and all sorts of stuff by some trainers, classwork done.
Yeah, what was that all about anyway? I mean, it was just like they were finishing the homework, weren't they?
Yeah, and according to the university and according to Brian Kelly and the coaching staff, it was done without their knowledge.
So the university without their knowledge.
Of course. I didn't see anything. I Sergeant Schultz, I see nothing.
I saw nothing.
I know nothing.
Yep. Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. And it's like, what are they talking about?
Yep. So anyway, the NCAA decided to make them forfeit.
I can't wait to hear that.
21 games from 2012 and 2013. So they, all the games that they won in 2012 and 2013, they didn't win any.
Well, weren't they 12-1? 12-1 that year?
Yeah, in 2012 they went to the BCS final game against Alabama.
But never happened.
Nope. Never happened. All wiped out,
yep.
man.
Yep.
See
yep.
you later, alligator. Too damn bad.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, Notre Dame, you know, they sort of think that the penalty is way too stiff. You know, they think that there's been other teams that have done this.
SEC.
Yeah, all SEC.
Well, the last team that was caught was North Carolina a couple of years ago, and all they got was probation. And now that Notre Dame has gotten caught doing this, and they had to forfeit 21 games. So that's why they're comparing what happened to them to North Carolina. And it's like, wait a second. You know, North Carolina didn't get punished hardly at all compared to what we're getting punished. So now that's why they're appealing the decision and trying to get that revoked now.
Oh, well, too bad, so sad. Yeah. Too bad, Irish. You know, that's what it's like. And don't give me the bull that it's like, well, if you're not trying, you're not cheating, you're not trying. When did that ever come into play? You know, it's like, well, if you're not, you know, taking drugs, you're not trying to get high. Really? There you go. You screwed up badly. I mean, really, that's basically what it is. You got nailed. You know, NC2A is not the best and most shining example of things, but that's it. You know, so what are you going to try to do? You're going to try to appeal it, and then you're going to try to get like 1 year. You know what? They'll split, and they'll give you 1 year. And they'll say, all right, forget about 2013. You know, you can keep your 12-1. You know, because NC2A, if they've got you this far, they got you. You know, they're like the FBI.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the one thing we got to check on a lot of what they're, you know, seeing. Because obviously they got the goods, you know, and they got them dead to right. And if NC2A is taking on the Irish, you know, there's a reason. You know, I mean, this is a big splash. This is kind of like a letting all the other teams know, no matter how big you are, we're going for you.
And if, you know, you can sit here and say, well, you know, North Carolina did the same thing. NCAA is not stupid. They know what North Carolina did. They know what they penalized North Carolina for. There's obviously some differences here in the two situations.
That's why they penalized them accordingly.
Correct. So to sit there and say, well, it's the same thing. No, it's not.
Well, and the thing about it was is I watched Brian Kelly's news conference. And he came out in that news conference and said, well, you know, 80% of the NCAA teams
do that. Yeah, but they're not dumb enough to get caught.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, now you're talking about you're trying to throw everybody under the bus here.
And how does he know what the other teams
yeah,
do?
Yeah, really.
That's what I'm saying. He came right out and he said, he goes, well, you know, 80% of the other teams in the NCAA are doing the exact same thing. And I'm going,
and you're withholding the information?
Yeah, really.
Shut up. Withholding the evidence?
Dear Brian Kelly, shut up.
This is what I'm saying. Now he's putting himself in a position.
Yeah, what an idiot.
I mean, really, here we go.
Shut up!
There you go.
Yeah, that's the first thing you should be doing is not saying stuff like that.
I can't believe that his AD let him go on and say stuff like that. I mean, first of all, where did you get that number? You know?
He's just talking out of his rear end. It's
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
What a yitz. I mean, really, I mean, are you impressed with Brian Kelly at all whatsoever? I mean, all the little stops that he has made between here, there, and everywhere. Should have stayed at Central Michigan.
Yep.
You know? I mean, then, because once you think that you elevated yourself up this high, you know, because really, you think about it, the Notre Dame alumni does not like this. So how much longer are you going to be around there, Briany boy?
And especially after this season, at 4 wins and 7 losses, this doesn't look good on the resume either now.
The ice is getting thin, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, but then again, is Les in the works?
Yeah, Les Miles doesn't have a job right now.
That's what I'm saying. Wouldn't he like to come up here? And then he could join the Big 14 or whatever they are before the Big 10? You know? Ooh, Notre Dame give up being a independent? Ooh,
wow, yeah.
But then you'd have to give up that NBC contract. Ew.
Yeah, they do have a good contract with NBC.
They got a great contract. Yeah. But see, this is what happens with NBC. When you put all your eggs in one basket, to get a cliche...
Shut up!
I know, I hate cliches. However, You know, it's like you're riding this team that's going, you know, is almost Spartan-esque right now, especially this year, you know. So as much as you think that – I kind of think that the Notre Dame deal is kind of overrated now. Maybe in the 60s, maybe in the 70s. Not now. I mean, if you're an independent now, you're an idiot.
You are, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
Because nothing's going on, and I don't even think – God, where do you even go for the playoffs? Playoffs? We talking about playoffs? There you go.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, well, I mean, what do you do? I mean, it's – but then again, if you're Notre Dame, who do you go with? I mean, everybody and their brother would want to have you, you know. So where do you go? I mean, by contract.
Well, that all depends. I mean, when the musical chairs starts, you never know who's going to end up. You know, for example, you know, the Big 12 conference is kind of on its last legs. And, you know, they're talking about, well, what happens with Texas and Oklahoma? Well, if they move together and they decide to come to the Big Ten, do you think the Big Ten's going to sit there, nah, we'd rather have Notre Dame?
Where are we going to go in the Big – I mean, really, where do you go with the Big Ten or whatever that is, Big 12? I mean, where do you go – I mean – doesn't the Irish have something with the ACC in basketball or something like that? Yeah. Aren't they part of that?
Yes.
But they wanted to keep the football independent?
Correct.
What a ingenious move is that? What the hell is that all about? You know what are you telling your basketball team? Yeah. What are you talking about everybody else? I mean, ACC? How the hell did you get into the ACC? What's the most West ACC team?
Probably them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean,
it's the Atlantic Coast Conference. Last time I checked, Indiana was not on the Atlantic Coast.
No.
I mean, geography may be a challenge at times, but I don't recall seeing that coastal Atlantic Coast there up against Indiana.
They might be on close to the coast of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, you start talking about any of that stuff, and you kind of go when Texas was supposed to come up. You know, with Nebraska, you know, it's like, why would, whatever. I mean, then you got some real travel problems, you know, big time college travel problems, more than you have right now, you know. But the cool thing is that you see the SEC and the ACC right now. I mean, whether the ACC was even a part of the gig, but you go, there's two conferences that are just tanking. Huge. Nobody cares who scored.
I do. Maybe we'll
not you. Really? By time? Okay. Well, anyways, that's kind of the situation that we're looking at with any kind of conference whatsoever. You know, you're right. Let's move the chairs. You know, who cares if we call ourselves the Big Ten and we have way more than 10, you know, or if we're the ACC and we have, you know, people in the Midwest. You know, it almost doesn't matter anymore. I mean, you might as well have Conference USA, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because the way everything worked before, Big Ten was everything close to, you know, the Midwest right there. Now everybody's pretty soon.
They got Rutgers and Maryland.
Yeah. I mean, nothing's even close anymore. You know, pretty soon UCLA's going to be part of the, you know, Atlantic.
You know what? Yeah. Put Nebraska in Mountain West, and that's going to be one team that's going to clean up, you know. I mean, you might as well put, like a Purdue. You know, it kind of like in the rainbow or whatever, something where they just dominate forever. You know,
or the MAC.
Or the Horizon.
Yeah.
No, because look at what Western Michigan. Talk about your Cinderella year. Yeah. Good Lord. I mean, somebody sold their soul somewhere. Yeah. I mean, there's a devil with like a guitar and a fiddle somewhere hanging around. You know, how do you do that? Now, here's even the bigger question, gentlemen. Are they bowl eligible? I mean, obviously they're bowl eligible, but are you playoff eligible? I mean, really, if you have an undefeated team, go with strength of schedule and all and everything else that they look at, are you in the picture?
No, same problem Boise State had a few years ago, too.
And that was?
That's it. You don't play anybody.
Right. The strength of their schedule, they play in what is their conference? Is that the MAC?
Yeah,
their MAC team.
Yeah, see, their strength of schedule is no good there.
But you might be good enough to take on these other teams. Who
but
knows?
That's what I'm saying. But see, they might be good enough to play your Clemson and your whatever. But since they're a smaller school in a smaller conference, they don't get a chance to do it.
Right, which is why, you know, really you have the NCAA Division One is really like 1A and 1B.
Yeah, you got three conferences that really, you know, you're going to get the same teams. As long as you get Florida in, you know, and as long as you get some kind of Texas team in, and as long as you get some kind of Midwesty kind of team in, that's all you need. Because really, where is USC? You know, where is UCLA? I mean, they're kind of in the picture. They're always talked about, but they're never, ever right in front of you. They're never really, when it comes to the end of the day, you got Ohio State, a Florida team, a Texas team, and then your wild card team, your little Cinderella kind of deal. You know, because really, if you even take if U of M, which is now in the same place as obviously Toronto, if you get U of M that goes in and wins the Ohio State game, what does that do to the bowl picture?
That puts that'll put Michigan in the playoff. Well, they're in the playoff run right now.
Yeah,
because they got them ranked number four.
Okay.
So that would knock Ohio State right out.
Okay.
Ohio then, State would be done.
Yeah, but that's – how many loss team is that?
Ohio State?
Yeah.
It would be a two-loss team then.
And yeah. So do they go in on strength of schedule, though?
No.
Then who takes their place?
Well, you have Alabama. Maybe
Washington.
Right. You have Alabama with no losses.
Yep.
And you have Washington with one loss. You Michigan. Have Clemson with Clemson. One loss. You have Michigan with one loss.
Okay, Louisville. You know, here you go. So now you start breaking down strength of schedule.
Right.
You know, and it's like, all right, so how much, what did Clemson play? Who did they play?
Well, they played Florida. They played Florida State. They played Georgia.
Okay, now you got LSU. You know, so it'll be interesting to see because, man, it's coming down to the wire. You know, I mean, this is, if State Michigan State could have beat Ohio, everything would have been thrown out.
Oh, yeah.
Everything would. I mean, we're talking about your topsy-turvy, and then at least State could have something to, you know, regain a little bit of self-respect. But, man, this year, oh. Yike.
Ah! You suck.
You can blame that on the guy that's running the team on that one.
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, you have no quarterback. You know, I mean, I don't even know how Kirk Cousins is doing it in the NFL. I really don't. I mean, talk about your smokes and mirrors and talk about your payday that this guy is going to get. You know, as much as he cried and complained that Washington didn't, you know, re-up his contract, you know, he's just playing out the year. What a serious mistake, Washington. What a gamble. Here's a gamble and you lost.
Yeah.
You know, because this guy's playing. I don't know if he's playing lights out, but the team's playing lights out. I mean, considering that they were, what, 0-2 in the beginning?
Well, we'll see on Thursday because they have to play Dallas.
Yeah.
Are you worried about Dallas?
They've only lost one game. Until they show that they can be beat.
Well, they were supposed to be a very good team this year anyway. And when Tony Romo went out, everyone, oh, God, that's it for Dallas. Turns out not to be the case.
No.
You know what we're trying to even figure out, too, is the Cutler thing in Chicago.
Ooh.
Why do you keep trotting him out? What's the romance with this guy? You know, he wasn't good in Denver. He's not really good here. He's serviceable, but not great. So what the hell?
Well, you don't have to worry about him now.
Yeah, I know, because he blew out his, shoulder?
Yeah, torn labrum.
Yeah.
Most cool people do. However, you take a look at everything that's going on with Chicago. Now, there's a town that really is a football town. Hockey town for a little bit. Baseball, you're blessed with two teams, you know. Basketball town, but Chicago seems to me to be more NFL-y.
Yeah.
You know, more Chicago-like.
Da Bears.
Yeah, and to see everything, because really, well, let's see. Well, no, you'd have your Blackhawks would be the last one who won in Chicago, right? You know, Chicago Bulls. Let's see, Chicago, Blackhawks, Bulls, then when the last time White Sox win?
04.
Yeah, early
2000s. You got 2000s. The Cubs,
obviously. Yeah, well, Cubs, yeah, that goes out soon.
Yeah, early 2000s.
2004, I think it was.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's kind of, you know, it's still a football town. They're the last ones to, I mean, they're the ones that are due to win before anybody else. Correct? Yeah. Okay, so, you know, and that, it's a big town. It's a great town, frankly. A bunch of fun people over there, you know. Yeah. And really, and the way that it, the Cubbies, when they won, I mean, class, you know. Nothing got burnt. Nobody got looted, you know. I mean, which is almost what you almost have to do, you know.
No sofas got burned.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing got smashed through, you know. Anyways, moving right along. What's next there, lad?
I don't know. You guys want to pick one?
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand what number three is all about. Who cares? You know, about St. Louis.
No. The reason why I brought the... Let's talk number three.
Okay, let us.
The reason why I brought up number three... Well, let me read the thing first.
Okay, it's a good idea.
Okay, left-hander Brett Cecil agreed to a four-year, $30.5 million contract with the St. Louis Cardinals. The reason why I brought this up is Cecil is a middle relief pitcher. Okay, and he's not your typical lights out pitcher.
Yeah.
Okay. The St. Louis Cardinals gave him almost $31 million for 4 years. Okay, so that's what, $7 million a year? Seven, 14, 21, 28, $8 million a year. All right. These are the kind of contracts that when teams go to sign other free agents, this is what makes it so expensive to sign other free agents, because other free agents think that they deserve the same amount of money for a middle-of-the-road relief pitcher.
Yeah, well, here's the story, and this is, and it goes on with all sports, and Kenny, who knows more about numbers than we do, would even have a better shot at this. However, this is the one of those kind of things where it's people and lose their minds here. I mean, they get almost Alzheimer's, and I mean right now. What they do is they sign these escalating contracts like no tomorrow, and then we have a lockout. We can't – I mean, every single time you've had a lockout in any major sport, it was over economics. We can't afford this anymore.
Right.
But who's signing who what? I mean, it's almost like the NHL did right after the lockout. They started signing contracts, and it was like, what? And baseball does the same thing. It's almost like, what, every 8-9 years, they escalate, and then they go, oh, we can't afford these contracts anymore. We're going to have to knock down. And then everybody gets in a tizzy, and then there's a work stoppage slash, you know, lockout. And really, it's a lockout. Because you think the players are going, yep, you're right, that's way too much money. Let's stop working. No, it's all the time. It's always the owners saying, we can't do this anymore. And then they do it again and again and again and again.
Yeah, that's the reason. I mean, technically this article means nothing except about the money that they're shelling out for pitchers that aren't really that good. That's the reason why I put this in here. It's you might as well just sign a bag of used balls for $31 million. Unless this guy can show me something.
Well, Cecil had been good, but see, he was injured last year.
Right.
But, so, I mean, he was a good pitcher.
But it's only for a middle relief pitcher.
Understand. He's not a closer. He's not a setup guy.
He's not a specialty guy.
Yeah.
So now, when you go, you know, so now there's guys out there like Daniel Hudson, Joe Blanton, Brad Ziegler, just to name a few guys that are all middle-tier relievers that are all going to think that they deserve $32 million.
And God help us, whoever thought that Brad Penny, I'm sorry, Mike Pelfrey is worth $8 million a year.
That's what I'm saying. This is why this happens, because all of a sudden everybody thinks, oh my God, he's the best guy available. We better pay him top dollar, otherwise we won't get him. Then you end up with garbage.
Yeah, but then you get like a Mike Yelich guy where you can flip your wig.
And he'll give him three times the amount of money.
That's right.
He's going to flip his wig?
I don't have a wig flipper. I could go back to the room.
Yes.
This
is what I'm saying. Then you get some guy that doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, he wants 16? Give him 20.
Yeah. I mean, really, and then you know who's really bidding against themselves are the owners. You know?
Absolutely.
And then you can't stop, though, because it's collusion. And then you got a Kirk Gibson thing on your hand.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I saw that article and it's like, oh my God. And now these other guys are going to be like, well, if he got $32 million, I should be able to at least get 25.
Yeah. All you have to do is get Boris as your agent, you know, and he'll take the top three, you know, and say, well, my guy's worth more. You know, and it's like, and that's where it escalates, and that's where it gets out of control, and that's, you know, you can't relate as much as, you know, here we go, start with the old wheel again.
Loser.
No, you're not. There you go, much better, second down. Is what happens is when you can relate to players, and that's why people go for little niche sports. That's why people are going for, like, soccer, and at one time NASCAR, you know, and at one time hockey, you know, because they can relate to them. They cannot relate to a middle infielder who's making 6.2, 6.3, who hit 212, you know, with 61 plate appearances. Yeah. You know, I mean, I can't. I mean, what is, you almost wonder what baseball revenue is, you know, from TV. You know, I mean, are you as much as the NFL? I mean, or how much money are you? Because I know the NFL teams have spread it, of course, way past so many more people. You know, your quarterback and your first-round choice gets a lot. Now, the NFL did it correctly by saying, okay, here's a rookie contract. The NBA did the same damn thing, finally. And you know why they had to do that? Because they had to protect themselves from the owners.
Yeah.
You know? So, once that started or began or whatever, you would think that baseball would have the same damn thing. You know, but they don't, do they?
No, they don't. No. See, hockey, like your draft choices, they all get entry-level contracts for the first 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense, though, do you think?
And then, once the 3 years is up, then they can negotiate a regular NHL contract for X amount of dollars.
Well, baseball kind of has a similar system. It's not a dictated contract, but they have a certain number of years before you're eligible for arbitration. And until you're eligible for arbitration, your negotiating powers rather limited. Once you hit arbitration, though, that's when you see it jumping. That's why, for example, a J.D. Martinez, they're looking at him now. He's coming to be a free agent next winter. Okay, so he's gone through the arbitration period. Now he'll be on the market next year. That's why they're looking at possibly moving him. So, I mean, that's kind of the way baseball works, too, where, you know, your leverage increases over time. But it isn't a fixed contract like the other leagues have.
But it's one hell of a one hell of a boost because, I mean, of all these people that don't want to go to arbitration. I mean, I've seen some negotiations break down quickly, and it's like, really? You gave them that just so you wouldn't have to go to arbitration? Good luck. I mean, really, yeah. Now there's the reason why you have, you know, like the Tigers are way. I mean, now you got to shop everybody, which is a really good idea, you know, for a team that's consistently losing. You know, but did you see what the thought was? If you have two crappy starters, make them 5, 6, 7 pitchers, inning pitchers, 5th, 6th, 7th inning pitchers. Keep an 8th, keep a 9th, keep a setup man, and keep your fireman. But have these guys, so you know that your starting rotation only has to give you 4 good innings. You know, that's it. Just pitch your heart out for good innings. The thought being that the first time around, the batters don't know exactly what you got. So if you got some really ineffective starters like Detroit has, you know.
You have a few of them.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying, that you could put Sanchez or Brad Penny, as a 5, 6, 7. Because really, when do they get shelled? After the second time that the batters hit them. So, if you only have them go through the order once, as long as they can get them all out, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you know, now you have a whole new baseball genre. You know, middle starters. Oh, conceivable. Well,
but that wouldn't work with Mike Pelfrey because they hit him the first time around.
Uh-huh. See, that's the whole point. So if you just try, you know what it is? It's kind of like moving around Catholic priests who have, like, molest kids. You know, it's like, okay, we'll move him to San Antonio. Nobody will ever know he's there, you know?
Ah!
There you go.
And maybe if we move him, he'll stop doing it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you won't get shelled, you know? Oops, or, yeah, you know, whatever they do.
It'll take a while for them to notice that he's molesting kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, look at the Pelfrey thing. They didn't notice whatsoever that he was, you know, not molesting children, because that's not what he does. But, you know, the baseball equivocation of blowing, you know, and blowing yourself up that badly, you know. I mean, do we have anything about the Cy Young winners here, by the way?
You mean the former Tiger Cy
Young
winners?
Both of them, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I didn't put that in. I had it written down and I forgot to put it in.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You suck.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, Kate was going nuts.
The National League, we had Max Scherzer, who, it's not his first time around in this. He's won the Cy Young before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
American League.
And what did I say about Porcello? I told you that I thought he would be... I had a chance to win.
But the reason he won is because there were two guys in Tampa that left Verlander off their ballots completely.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is, though,
you know, you have two ex-Tigers, right? And there's rumors that Verlander is soon to be an ex-Tiger as well. So, join the club, huh?
See ya. You know, really, but if you're Verlander, where are you going? You're going to L.A.
Yeah.
You know, because being a 5-10, clearly a 5-10, you know, do you think you're going to go to Baltimore? You know? No. I mean, you're going to go for the glamour thing because that's what your chick wants you to go. So, you know.
After she had her big rant.
Yeah, no. What is that? Shut up. Wait a minute. Let me get back to shut up.
Shut up!
There you go. Here's a clue. If you're a spouse of a sports person.
Shut up!
When the spouse is to get his ass kicked for being crappy.
Shut up!
Don't say anything. Don't start lobbing your little mouth.
Shut up!
Because it's stupid, you know? Get back in the kitchen because those dishes aren't going to wash themselves.
Shut up!
You know what I mean? Shut up. No one's asking you for your opinion. Yeah, you can blot out as much as you want, but you know what? You're an easy ticket ride because you now have millions. You know, so...
Shut up!
Let the guy get his ass kicked if he deserves it.
Shut up!
And that's it. Otherwise, there you go.
Shut up.
See? I mean, did Mrs. Lolich say anything? No. You know, when he was getting shelled, how about Prince Fielder's wife? Didn't say a thing, you know, because she was too busy in the bedroom with everybody else on the team. You know? So
allegedly. Shut up!
I know, allegedly. That's what I heard.
Yep.
There, I'll do a Trump thing. That's what we heard. You know? So, see, they can't see that in radio.
I know.
She
wouldn't stop either, though. That's the whole thing.
Just
make your comment and stop. But no, every time somebody said something, she'd say something to them. It's like, don't you have something to do? Don't you have a commercial about Battlefield or whatever the heck?
I know she was hot in that. I mean, it was like, it's kind of funny. As fat as she is, I mean, they really made her look good with all that, like, glowing white robe and all that stuff.
On the back of the horse and whatever.
I know. And she's looking at that horse going, That scene, like, his wank. You know, it was like, wow, okay, this horse is looking pretty good.
Time to horse around.
Hey!
Well, I'm just looking at our list here, and I see number 8 and number 9. They kind of go together.
Number 8 and number 9.
Let me flip backwards.
First, we got the Red Wings sliding down.
Sliding down, positioning.
That's
huge difference.
Backing up for a running start, huh?
Huge difference.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the Red Wings, last place in the Atlantic Division, and you know what that means? They're behind the Maple Leafs.
By how many points?
Just 2.
There you go. All right. Well, when we look up and we go, wow, when did we win the Stanley Cup last? Before Sterling Heights was incorporated as a city? Oh, no. That was the other blue team.
Boo!
There you go. Don't check your phone. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does, because Carolina just scored, so it's tied.
There you go.
Well, look, I mean, we've been talking about the Red Wings for a while, about how their general manager, Mr. Ken Holland...
likes his defense.
Even though he's got 5 guys. Now, remember, fine listeners, again, if this is the first time you're listening to, if you hear this, that means that somebody is going into the CAC Hall of Fame. Okay? So you can't get any more stupid, you know, here on the Sports Authorities.
And Ken Holland is a regular visitor.
He is like Hall of Fame first ballot cack.
You got it.
Jeez, oh God almighty. You know, but again, the Red Wings, they're playing possum. It works good for Ali. Play down. And then here comes the surge. Besides, they're dealing with everything that's going on down Detroit. You know, now they got another team coming into the Little Caesars Arena.
What's that got to do with anything?
I've been listening to this, and I'm thinking Lions. It sounds like a Lions fan.
Nope. Positioning. All right, great. We'll come back, and then we'll see what happened. You know, and it's not how you start the team. It's where you finish, you know, over the finish line.
And we've been through this before, too, with this team. Ugh.
25 years. 25 years, my boys.
Why don't you just come out and say the slide started with Cronwall when he came back?
Yeah, no kidding. He's awful. You know, really, who do you... But again, get rid of DeKaiser. Who the hell is DeKaiser? You know?
Their whole defense stinks, except for the kids.
Yeah.
Sproul is playing good.
Yeah, true.
Even though what's-his-face, the coach, thinks, oh, he's having a good game and then a bad game and a good game. He's probably... him and Ouellette are probably the most consistent defensemen they have, and they're the youngest ones on the team.
True that. You know, and the funny thing is that there's no way... Nobody's scoring, so Zetterberg... Get the hell out. I mean, really, how good are you as a captain? Get out. You know, Abaker, I mean, who are you doing? You know?
I watched the game against Calgary on Sunday.
Calgary.
And Redmond was just going bonkers.
As he should.
And I'm like, the Red Wings only deserved one goal. The Nyquist goal. If the goalie would have had a stick on the ice, the thing was only going a half a mile an hour. He just didn't see the puck.
He was beaten cleanly by that rapid-fire shot.
Yeah, that was going a half a mile an hour.
It's because the way you were looking at it on TV, if you were there in real life, you would have saw how rapidly that thing was coming through. That was on slow motion. They didn't have the real speed version of it.
Oh, okay. But I'm just saying, the Wings are just... They're just not the team they used to be.
They're lousy.
And I'm not saying that because I'm a Maple Leaf fan. I'm saying that as a hockey fan.
Well, what are you cheering the Maple Leafs for? They're one game ahead. They're two points.
And they have a game in hand, too. So.
Oh, my God.
So it could be
It's November.
Points.
Yeah, or it could be less, and they're out of it.
I got to admit, anytime you look up and you see the Maple Leafs, that's not good.
It's playing. They're playing. It's rope-a-dope. You know, it's trying to give the Leafs a little bit of confidence, so they go, oh, aren't we so fabulous? And then slam, bam, see ya. You know, it's who hoists the cup up in July.
I know, I understand that.
It's not right now when they're doing rope-a-dope. See, they're resting their guys. It's kind of like resting
your starters. And, you know, it's really, we're really so smart because nobody else in the league is thinking of doing
Ta-da!
That, you know? Nobody else in the league is even thinking of doing that.
He's thinking out of the box, man.
Yeah, because you know why? Because we're looking at the Maple Leafs. So that's the team we really want to take advantage of.
There you go. Well, no.
All those other teams we don't care about. We can finish behind them. We don't care.
We can beat the other ones, and we can beat the Maple Leafs. But somehow, someway, see what happens is the cack of the year, Holland, has a secret contract with Babcock. So they said, look, we know that you're having a hard time in Toronto. So in order to make you feel better, we'll tank for about a week or two, build you guys up. Shanahan will feel better about himself. Molson will come back as a sponsor. And then everything will be happy. They shake hands. They have themselves a fine blue. And then it's back to normal, back to the Red Wings. Kicking ass and taking names throughout the whole season. Watch it happen.
Great. Now my question is, how does it work with the Pistons? Who are they trying to get some overconfidence in? Because they're looking up at everybody.
Yeah, here's how it goes. I will tell you, and that's why we're the authorities here.
Okay. I want to hear this.
This is going to be good.
Funny enough how both teams started off okay, and then they're both in bottom place, right? And now, mysteriously... They're both going to be in the same building next year.
Ugh.
There you go.
Oh, so they're going to suck in the same building.
With a building with a name that sucks.
Yeah.
No.
No.
What happens is that they have an agreement.
A conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy. It's an agreement.
Oh.
Huge difference. Why in God's name would the Pistons leave a nice stadium, a nice, you know, the palace up there? They got it good and all that stuff. And mysteriously, just by chance, they lose by a bucket last night when they were, like, winning like no tomorrow. They could easily win that game, you know. But they said, look, tank it so we can make the announcement tomorrow, which happened today, correct? So now, for some crazy reason, the Detroit Pistons are going to go back down to Detroit in the same place an Illich team is. And so their deal is they're both going to be crap this year, but they're going to squeak into the playoffs and go out in the first round. And then next year, when they open up the Little Caesars Arena, they're going to be like mid-pack, and people are going to flock to the place.
Well, frankly,
money, 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 money.
They should have made the announcement after that Cleveland game. Because you want to talk about a shredding. Oh.
Look how much they dogged it, though. I mean, they could. I mean, remember, they took LeBron to how much last year in the playoffs?
Yeah, right.
You know? They
took him to four games.
There you go. See, so they could easily win with that team, and this team is arguably better than that team. So they could have beat Cleveland, but they said, look, Illich's were like, follow our lead, tank, you know, and do well when it gets a little warmer. But right now, tank.
Illich said that?
Are you understanding any of this?
No.
Okay. All right. I have sources down there.
I mean, this sounds like the typical ravings of a Lions fan.
All right. Go ahead.
I can't believe Village would say something like that because he doesn't say anything that makes any sense.
It's not Mike that's doing it.
Okay. It's Chris Illich.
My sources cannot confirm or deny.
Okay.
It's not flip your wig. I don't flip your wig. Can't talk like that.
God, no.
Well, especially now, you know, they ask him, well, what do you think about how the renderings are going to go?
Give him $50 million.
Thank you, Mike. And away you go. Get back in that iron lung, won't you? You know? Get that. Make sure that you, and somebody take that wig of his and take it out to the dry cleaners, flip it over.
Give him $75
million. That's not enough. Give him $80 million.
I just want to mention for the people who haven't been listening that Mr. Illich is also a member of the CAC Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's first ballot.
There's a few permanent members.
Yeah, no kidding, and he definitely is one of them. You know, that goes in straight and true. What happens is you take a look today. Now, somehow they go, you know, Gore's the owner of the Pistons, brilliant move. He goes, look, it's time we're all in on Detroit, you know. So he comes down here and goes, oh, yeah, but he doesn't. He says, yeah, you know, we have a survey, and it says that, you know, this will be good for the economic growth of Detroit and all that stuff. It'll be like $600 million. And by the way, we need taxpayers to give us $34.5 million, you know. But anyways, boy, look how nice it'll be to have the Pistons down here. You know, and we're going to give away $2.5 million, and we're going to open up basketball places all around the city of Detroit. Aren't we great? But yet, you know, this guy is going to be selling all that. He's not selling the land, you know, yet. So he knocks down the palace. He's got all kinds of big money coming into it because that land is so valuable where the palace is. He comes down to Detroit, has the taxpayers pay for his stadium. He's making money at both ends. And it's like, well, see how great I am? Really, you are starting to go into, I think we're going to have to get the ballots ready. You know, because this guy is teetering CAC. I mean, he is like 1 foot in CACville and 1 foot the mayor of CAC. You know? brilliant.
But anytime you're talking stadiums, and we've gone into this before, anytime you start talking about stadiums, it's how can we rip off the taxpayer?
Yeah, and the taxpayer, I mean, I don't remember voting on this.
No.
You know, so we got to give taxpayer money to it. The story has changed. In the 60s, taxpayers are more than happy to do this because there's something about civic pride. You know, and then you always had, well, look at how many restaurants and all that junk that, you know, it's going to bring down here and how many jobs. Yeah, but you know what? You're bringing in restaurants and bars, and the jobs you're bringing in are $2.12. What is it for waitstaff? $2.12? You know, that you have to make an hour and the rest are all tips or whatever. You know, I mean, these are not $80,000 jobs, you know, that you bring in downtown. And, you know, especially for Detroit, who are you going to move downtown when you got no schools? When you got no, you know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, so what are you doing? And then for $34 million, do I get a rebate? Do I get a cheaper ticket, you know, because we're part of this part of Southeast Michigan? You know, how does that ever work? Why does TxDOT, and we haven't voted on this. Yeah. So for everything, I'm pretty well sure that Detroit could use $34 million, you know, now, you know, for all kinds of other things.
You bet.
You know, than try to get this guy a basketball arena that he has already. You know, I don't think anybody said, oh, my God, you know, the Palace, such a slum. You know, I mean, what's the knock on the Palace? There's nothing to do around there, but that's okay. I don't know how many people, I would love to know the percentage of people that go down to, say, Joe Louis Arena, you know, or Three Rivers or whatever, you know, and says, great, let's start at 5 o'clock and we won't come home till 3 p.m., okay? I mean, we'll shut down the bar, we'll drive home late and all that stuff. Who actually thinks, you know, the Palace model, who gives a damn? You're going to go in there, you're going to see the game, get the hell out. You know, I mean, look how many people leave early in basketball games and hockey games and baseball. You know, I mean, people are leaving in the eighth inning, and even if it's like 5-4, because they got to get back in. They, you know, they want to beat the rush and all that stuff. The Palace has a great place. I mean, when you have your parking lot that dumps right out into I-75, and I mean literally dumps right out into it, you know, there's no reason to go any earlier. But, you know, if you're not going to be hanging around, I don't know who's going to hang around. If Detroit's, like, on a losing streak, boy, that'd be unusual, you know? I mean, if Detroit's, like, already done by August, how many people are going to hang around, you know? And how many people, I mean, it's so dependent on the economy, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, who's got, and really, here we go, you know? And how many people, you know, are going to say, look, we got the disposable income for a family of four. Hell, how much did we say it was for a family of four to go to a baseball game?
It's like $200.
Yeah, right. And now you have that plus, you know, there's no McDonald's next door. I mean, these are all bars that are going to be charging you $8-9 for a burger.
Yeah.
You know, so kind of niche-y. I mean, I understand that the Cubs can do that, you know, because Chicago has the Cubs have a wonderful setup. I mean, that is so baseball right there. I mean, put a bubble over that place and never let that go. You know, but I mean, really, how much are you going to go party after a Piston game in March?
Most of the time when I go to a game, I go to the game and go home.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And so that's what we're all saying. I mean, for all these residual jobs and all this money that's supposed to come downtown and all that stuff, here's the story. The money's coming downtown, but these guys aren't paying taxes on this stuff for a decade. You know, so where's the money? Where do you think you're going to recoup these costs for bonds? How does that work, Ken?
Magic.
Okay. All right, yeah, because that's a...
We pay for something and get no benefit in return.
Absolutely. Yeah, and a billionaire gets more money. I mean, here's the story. He can't afford the $34 million or whatever it's going to take to boss his team down here, yet he bought a $100 million home in L.A. I don't think you're hurting for money, my man. No. You know? I mean, is Davidson the last guy, the last owner to actually buy lock, stock, and barrel his stadium, his arena? Or is he the only one?
I think so. I mean, let's face it. The reason they get into these stadium deals is so they can get that taxpayer funding.
Sure. I mean, they're not dumb. I mean, they can go for it. If people bitch and all that stuff, they go, well, okay, I guess we'll have to put up the money. But, I mean, Davidson just like, here's the cash. You know, I got it. I mean, in economic sense, I don't know, Ken, what do you think? I mean, that if you own everything, you know, I mean, the benefits that you have – is incredible.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, let's face it, when you look at a city and you're running a city and you say, okay, we got $34 million to blow, what are we going to do? We're going to stick it in this guy's pocket, or we're going to build up some libraries or some mass transit.
True that, yeah.
You know, why would you give it to the sports franchise owner?
Yeah.
And the answer to that is because he's your buddy.
It's prestige.
Well, it's prestige. Plus, I think there's... You know,
some sort. You probably get some kickbacks.
That's what I'm saying.
Quo somewhere here.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a mayor of a city, you know, and you got a big stadium in there, and so now, you know, again, the big picture now is Detroit's the only city that has four majors that have all four teams in the city. You know, there's not one city anywhere else that has that. You know, which is kind of interesting, frankly. Huh. Because you think, yeah, Chicago, yeah, you're right. They don't all play. New York, they don't play. L.A. doesn't have four majors yet, you know. I'm trying to think who would be like a mid-major. Boston, you know. Because I don't think Boston, where's, yeah, I mean.
Boston, yeah, because New England doesn't play in.
Play Foxborough.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're not in the city.
Yeah. Right, yeah, so I'm trying to think of the mid-majors after Chicago, L.A., New York, you know. The Detroits, I mean, San Antonio, they don't have the four majors.
No.
You
Dallas
know.
Doesn't. Dallas has football and basketball.
Yeah, that's right. They don't have baseball. They yeah, that's baseball. True, too. How do they not have baseball? How do they miss? I mean, something like, or, I mean, Houston, well, Houston doesn't have hockey.
Yeah.
You know, thank God.
They got a minor league team.
You don't need that. I mean, so if you're a mayor, if you're a politician, this is a little source of pride. You know, I brought back the Pistons. The hell you did. This guy saw a cool opportunity, and I'm not sure what the Illiches are thinking. Because somehow, some way, that the Pistons don't come in as tenants. They come in as equal partners. So either it's a liability thing. I'm telling you, this smacks of Chris Illich. And I'm not real terra firma about Chris and some of his moves here. You know, explain to me in a little more detail. Don't give me the glitz and glamour kind of crap. Look at, you know, because they have these wonderful pictures of the Pistons and, the, you know, whatever. You know, but nobody was really thrilled about the Pistons. I mean, they're a team on the rise. Yeah, uh-oh. Here he comes. The Penguin himself. The coach of your Detroit Pistons.
He'll be here in about a week.
Can't understand Van Gundy. There you go. You know, and matter of fact, new listeners, if you hear that, that's Van Gundy.
Yeah.
Because he's such a short little thing. You know, a little fat squat. That's how he walks.
He has a hard time getting up downstairs.
He's got a hard time walking over a bobby pin. Ugh. Anyways, but that's true, too. So there you go. And that's the true story of why the Pistons and the Red Wings are tanking it momentarily. Momentarily. You'll see a win, you know.
We still don't understand it, but we'll see.
I will put it on the chalkboard when you guys are all done. You know, it's not
so
bad.
You're not terribly impressed with Chris Illich at this point, huh?
No, it's, you know, he's
kind of. Potential cack.
He is. I'm telling you. He's
half.
He's a K right now.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's kind of like Hangman. You just have to fill in the CK at the end, you know, because there is something spooky. I mean, think about it. Ever since he's come in, you know, fire sale for the Detroit Tigers, you know,
yes.
This setup here with, you know, why do you want the Pistons in there? What value does that bring your stadium when you had all the money lock, stock, and barrel? You had the finances for it already. Everything's going. You know, the really crazy thing is that next year, both teams are going to move in there. How fast is this stadium, this million huge foot stadium, is going to be built and ready to go? You know, when like how long like Three Rivers took, you know, or even, well, how long does Silverdome take? How long does it take Silverdome to get demolished? You know? Talk about demolished. Egad. But a little bit of time ago, Ken Pocket, Super CPA, what did we not talk about in 1 minute?
We didn't talk about the Lions, who have a big game Thanksgiving Day at home against the Vikings. They're tied for first place with the Vikings, and if they win this game, they're in the catbird seat for winning their division. Now, I've ripped horribly on Caldwell in the past, but I got to tell you, if he takes this team to a division title, the guy's in the running for coach of the year. Ugh!
Yeah, but take a look at it. You have a division that nobody wants to win.
Yeah,
you know, so by default, Detroit's like, well, I guess we will.
But
you
I know. Thought this team was going to be kind of where the Bears are.
Yeah.
And not really a good team, but somehow or another, smoke and mirrors, they're getting it done so far.
Smoke and mirrors, man, and then gets their ass smoked when it comes to the playoffs. So, Mark Milicek, sport director here at the new CKIWI Radio 76. What haven't we talked about in 1 minute? I'm ready.
It's not going to be about the Maple Leafs.
That's a preamp. Okay.
No, it already is.
Yeah.
Well, on an earlier edition of the Sports Authorities, namely on the 27th of September, we talked about Andre Drummond using
Did you see that?
virtual reality to help him with his free throw shooting. And since he has been using that virtual reality program, he has brought up his free throw shooting from 38% all the way up to
39%.
All the way up to 53%.
To do that, you're as dumb as somebody who got married in November. How do you do that? Why would you care? You know, I mean, you looked awful yesterday. You blew the game, frankly. You know, you knocked that thing all out. So what the hell? Who's coaching this guy? I mean, well, they even got a new rule for him, you know, the Drummond rule, where you can't foul a guy like a hack-a-shack, you know?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, like, I guess anything's possible to raise your, you know, to make yourself better at a certain aspect of your game.
Yeah, and then he clanked some yesterday. He did nothing. Well, talking about doing nothing, well, that's not what we do here at the Sports Authorities. We are going back into Kenny's limousine, and we are going to go down to Detroit, and we're going to take a look at this Little Caesars thing because all of us have to take a pee. So, for the sports authorities here, Mark Milicek, our sport director, and the Super CPA, Ken Pocket, myself, John Sever, we hope you enjoyed this edition of Sports Authorities, and come back at 7 o'clock to see the mayhem at 7 p.m., or you can go to our pod garage, I guess they call these things right now. So, it's at Podbean. And then click CKIW and then go scoot on down to where it says Sports Authorities, and you'll see our charming, or hear our charming voices and not see our charming pictures after our ad campaign. So, we will see you again next week, and we say goodbye, sports fans. Good night.
Bye, Daniel. Bye, Leah.
Don't try to squeeze.